Welcome to the Informed Pregnancy and Parenting Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Elliot Berlin, and you have turned into a before and after series where we are back with doula-turned-lawyer, Shannon. Last time we talked to Shannon, she was like 34 weeks pregnant, planning for a home birth, and still figuring out some of the final details. And now, like TV magic, she has given birth. The bun is out of the oven, and she has come back to share her story. Welcome back.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be back.
It's so good to see you again.
I know. It's good to see you.
You look wildly different.
I don't know if it's a secret, but the last time I saw you was just after my birth.
I did see you right after your birth. When we were talking about your birth planning, you sort of mentioned, I was like, who's coming to your birth? And you said, no doula. And then you said, maybe you, but I'm still thinking about it. And then we'll see how that turned out.
Surprise.
So what happened at the end of your pregnancy? Because you had a few weeks left.
Yeah. I think, I'm trying to remember exactly when I was here. Yeah, it was towards the end. It might have been even 36 weeks. And a couple weeks after that, I wrapped up work. And I was a little anxious about having baby early for some reasons that were based in reality and some reasons that were just, you know, whatever anxiety that you have around
where the reality parts.
The reality was very limited because everyone's bodies are different, except for I was having a lot of my baby was really low for a while, which can be totally, you know, typical, normal, not strange. But my baby had been low for a long time. I was having a lot of pressure and pretty regular contractions, and I requested that my midwife check me when I was about 36 or 37 weeks, and I was a little further along than one would expect of a first-time mom. So pretty much the reality of that is it meant that, baby might come soon, anytime, or it could happen exactly like it did, where it basically came a couple days after due date.
After your due date.
Yeah, so it sort of was one of those things where things didn't make much progress. When I got checked like 36 weeks, I basically requested to get checked, I think at every appointment afterwards, and literally nothing happened. Like every week I would be checked and it would be like the exact same.
Yeah. It's interesting because usually people who do home birth don't want to get checked very often.
I wanted to.
And people who are doulas don't want to get checked very often.
That's true.
But you are a doula who did a home birth and you wanted to get checked every week.
I did. I think that, like, even when I was in my birth, and I don't want to jump ahead too far, but when I was in labor, you know, I got examined a couple times, and they, you know, my midwife, Michelle, asked me, do you want to know where you are? And I totally did, and I knew that it wouldn't psych me out.
Uh-huh.
I knew that it was just sort of, like, information.
You like information.
I like information. And so, right. I mean, yeah, I guess we'll probably get there.
You're a massive researcher, too.
Yeah.
I remember you saying, like, you like to know stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And you're okay with navigating right. through it, but the more you know, the more comfortable you feel.
I would say I'm like a zen info junkie.
I don't know if that's taken on Instagram yet. Zen info
update
junkie.
My handle. Yeah. Yes, the last time I saw you, I was like, I think I was maybe 36 weeks, I can't remember, and sort of wrapped up work a couple weeks after that. And so luckily I was nervous that I would give birth early and that I would, my fear became that I was going to be in my office.
Giving birth in your office?
Like go into labor in my office, like not really acknowledge that I was like in labor because I was busy. Like be trying to wrap up and just like, I don't know. So luckily I left before that happened and I had a couple weeks before baby arrived to really have this like indulgent, nice time to like think and do things that I never did during my pregnancy because I was really busy. And so I went to Kundalini yoga. I went to prenatal yoga. Saw you.
Yes.
I slept and I did like all these really nice things that.
That sounds like a nice lifestyle for those 2 weeks.
It was really great. And I think it helped the anxiety of I didn't feel too much of wanting the baby to come at the end. I know a lot of people do. I still felt pretty good. And I also was like, every day like this is really, it's like a huge, lucky, special blessing to have this time to just sort of like be with myself before I'll never really.
Sure. I remember seeing you at the end and it still wasn't like, get this baby out of
no.
me. I was like, you know, I just want to get my body open and ready. So when it's time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I wanted to, you know, I didn't want to go late because I had some anxiety about that. What happens when you get to, you know, almost 42 weeks and your Yeah, I did not want to end up at the hospital.
Right, you can't do home birth anymore after 42 weeks.
And... Yeah. So I did have, you know, that was luckily didn't actually happen, but I was pretty much at the end, just the last little bit. Once I left work, it was like I felt just so grateful for every day that, I don't know, I had to just sort of be healthy and well and sort of prepare myself as much as you can mentally, spiritually, emotionally for this coming event. And also physically, doing some nice like physical things that I hadn't really done. Like, you know, I knew that I was supposed to be walking 3 to 5 miles a day because that's a great thing to do while you're pregnant, but I just hadn't had the time to do it.
While you were working?
While I was working, yeah.
So afterwards you were able to walk more?
Oh, yeah. The last couple of weeks I was walking every day. It was so great. It was like with my dog just like going on.
You have the cutest dog.
Yeah. I know. That's and that was a nice part of.
Big dog.
Yeah, she's a really nice, calm
What's her,
dog.
What breed is she?
She's like a Labradoodle puppy. She's actually not old, but she's just really calm.
She was calm, but she's like a beautiful dog.
Yeah.
And also very curious.
Yeah.
So when you were getting checked every week, were you finding differences or it was just the same?
No, it was just the exact same.
Okay.
And that was totally so I have two midwives that I go to, and every other week I would go to one or the other. Yeah. And my midwives' names are Michelle and Davey. And they are different styles.
Totally different.
Totally different personalities, different styles. And so, I think that in some ways Michelle is a little bit more like me and that she's very like when we talk to each other, I think if you recorded it, we speak so fast. It's just like she loves info. Like together, it's just like a lot of.
Yeah, she's very book.
Yeah, she's like, she knows so much.
A lot of knowledge.
Yeah, and Davey's much more calm, gentle, like spiritual.
Spiritual. That's I'm thinking it as you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. So that's like, so I think that they're both very supportive of, I don't know, whatever it is that you kind of need to be in a good place. And I understand, you know, introducing infection, things like that, and, you know, that. But for me, it was like I did want to know where I was, and even knowing that I hadn't changed in a way was comforting because I was happy to still be pregnant.
Did you have any false alarms?
Actually, so I did not want to end up getting induced. So when I was – after my 39-week checkup with Davey, my midwife, she was basically like, okay, like, you know – there was no concerns because I had already progressed to a certain – I'd already progressed more than would be kind of expected of a first-time mom, but it had just stayed the same for those 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. So there wasn't really concern that things weren't probably going to move, but there was talk of like, okay, it might be a good idea to start seeing an acupuncturist or seeing someone so that if things do go late, you kind of have someone that you've used, that we have maybe more tools. And so I started seeing – I went twice to this acupuncturist that Davey recommended that was like $35 cash. So it was great. It was really nice. It's in Culver City. highly recommend. And so I went and I did first session on I think the Thursday, like a week before my baby was born. And then the next time I went back, I think it was like a Sunday, like a couple days later. And after that session, during that session, you know, they put in the needles. First time, you know, I'd had acupuncture before, but it had been several years, like almost 10 years. And you just sort of felt flow, like kind of felt movement, kind of felt warm. Baby was moving a lot, but like didn't, not like, you know, nothing too dramatic. Felt good. The next time, same woman did my acupuncture, and I had what was like a crazy experience where she put in the needles, she leaves the room, and especially now that I've been through labor, I can only describe it as like a fairly intense 20-minute long contraction.
Oh, wow.
So I literally...
Was her not in the room?
She's not in the... Well, people came in the room.
Okay.
So I literally have the needles put in me very rapidly. It's like I can feel the sort of movement, and then quickly I can feel sort of like essentially like a crazy contraction, like, and I am sweating like crazy. I start like breathing heavily. I'm like, how long is this going to go on for? Like, I am literally like the intensity of it was like having a contraction like fairly far along where you're like, but you're trying to lie still. Like, it was so wild. And so I was like breathing heavily, like literally like doing birth breathing, like trying to maintain this like sensation. And a man who works there came in. He's like, are you okay? And I was like, I'm so sorry. I'm so hot. Can you get me some water? Or he brought me in some water. And I'm like lying there and he's giving it to me. And I'm like, you know, really having a hard time. And then she comes back. They take out the needles. But it was like, I basically finished the session. It was about 20 minutes. And when it was done, I was like, has that ever happened to you before? And she's like, only once. And I was like, what happened? And she's like, the woman went home and had her baby that night. And so I sort of took it as a good sign that I was like, okay, like, you know, it probably means that
things are moving.
Things are like getting close to being there. And so that was, I think, Sunday. And then Monday, actually, my mom came up and spent Monday with her, and we had like a nice day and did some stuff to kind of get ready. I actually sort of the last like 2 weeks of my pregnancy, from like, well, my plan was like 39 to 41 weeks to make it so you didn't feel anxiety. I had something nice scheduled like every day.
So
like I
what
did
kind of things?
Like one day I got like my nails done with my girlfriend. Like another day I, you know, got a massage, you know, sort of like went on like a beach walk, or was this sort of like planned all these things, like planned to see different people.
That's such a good idea.
Yeah, it was really nice. So there was basically like every day, instead of the next day being like, oh, baby's not here, it was like, oh, well,
I get to do the next thing in my itinerary.
Yeah, like, oh, great. Like, so actually on Tuesday, which is the day I went into my baby was born, I was supposed to meet my friend who had a baby, her baby, a few weeks earlier. And so one of the first texts that I sent as things progressed was actually to her, to be like, at like 1 a.m, being like, hi, I'm not going to be able to see you tomorrow. FYI, not going to be able to see you tomorrow morning. Looks like things are happening. But yeah, so I had like this, yeah, lovely couple of weeks. And then at the end, it was, so that was the closest thing to false alarm.
So false alarm.
Yeah.
So when did labor actually start?
So it's funny, because I had been a doula, and so many people, because of, I think, media, television, you know, movies, whatnot, think of labor starting when your water breaks. And I had dispelled for so many people in my life that that is how labor typically starts. So I never thought my labor would start with an aggressive water breaking situation, because I was like, this is... That doesn't happen. And I'm going to have what's typical, which is, you know, more like... contraction starting, and you know, more typical. But instead, on Tuesday, a little after midnight, I had woken up to go to the bathroom, as pregnant women do 35 times a night.
Yeah.
And I am 2 days past my due date, and I went to the bathroom, went back to bed, but I'm still awake, and I have no pop or anything, but just a tremendous amount of fluid.
Oh, wow.
Leave my body. Like, there's no question that this is...
That was your water
breaking. It was my water breaking. It actually wakes up my husband because it gets on his leg.
Oh, the fluid breaks
him up? No. Oh, yeah. There was... I cannot believe... I know that I'd had a couple ultrasounds during my pregnancy, and every time they're like, wow, you have a lot of fluid. And upon my water breaking, I was like, wow,
I have a lot of fluid.
I had a lot of fluid. And I actually... So I, you know, water breaks. There's no question that water has broken. It's about...
So you're saying Tuesday night. Is this, so this after is, midnight, so Wednesday morning?
No. This it's really like it's
Monday
like after,
night.
I went to bed on Monday night. And then 2 hours midnight, later. Yeah, I think I went to bed about 11. And 2 hours later, it's now 1 a.m.
On Tuesday morning.
Yeah, my water breaks. And it's very clear. And I kind of was like... pretty calm. I wasn't even like that excited. I was more just like go mode. So I start texting people. You were one of the people I texted because you were going to be there.
Oh, yeah. By then we decided
we were going to do some
body work.
Yeah. We knew that you were going to come, which ended up being just like the best. But so I texted my midwives, and I included my husband on the chain. I texted my mother, who doesn't live very far. She lives about an hour away in Orange County, but I knew that she'd want to know. And also just to sort of keep everyone in the loop so that people would know. I texted my brother, actually, in case my mom was like a crazy person and like received this text at 1 a.m. and showed up at my brother's house in Venice at 2 a.m.
Wow.
So I was like, Sean, and my brother keeps a fairly late schedule. And I wanted him to know in case literally my mom was like,
FYI.
Yeah, like showing up at his house. And
would you have done that if you just started having contractions? Or was it because the water broke, which is more like...
So I would have texted Davy and Michelle, my midwives, no matter what, just because I think it's good. And I would have texted you because I think it's good to let people who are going to be there.
Your birth team.
No. And I also texted the two. So I was supposed to see, I don't know why I had the foresight to do this, but I was supposed to on Tuesday morning meet my friend's baby. And then on Wednesday, I was supposed to get coffee with my friend who I actually met at this. One of the nice things I did is I went to this place, Women's Space in Culver City. And I went to a, it's this actually great resource. It's this like women's group. And I went to the center, the circle that was like this maid into mother circle. And I ran into a girl I'd actually gone to law school with. And so she was there and she'd had tried for home birth, had a hospital birth at Cedars and had a baby. And we were supposed to get coffee on Wednesday. And somehow, even though that was like 36 hours down the road, my water breaks and I like text her and I'm like, hey, not going to be able to, like, looks like I'm going to labor, not going to be able to make Wednesday. I don't know how I, like, had the...
Yeah, you thought about those
details.
I was
like, I need to cancel these plans.
That's so considerate.
Or something. But, so, yeah, I think that it was, yeah, birth team I knew to sort of contact. Canceling plans was just sort of one of those things where I was like, oh, I don't want to have this pop into my brain all of a sudden at, like, 8 a.m. and, you know, feel concerned that I hadn't, I don't know,
That's
done
like
this.
That's, like, really forward thinking.
Well, I don't know.
So then I don't want to have to think about this at 7 centimeters, so I'll take care of it
right,
now.
I want to, like, take care of it now. And so my water broke, and soon afterwards, Davey, my midwife, called me. Davey is truly the most, like, wonderful human, and she's so caring and never makes you feel like you're putting her out. And somehow, like, you doesn't sleep because she will contact you at all hours. Like, if you contact her about anything, she responds so quickly. It's really amazing. Because I've also spent time with her. She's never on her phone, so I don't understand how it works. But she
She must have a clone.
Yeah. Something's going on. So she called me at this point. I don't know. It's probably 1:30. And I had tested positive for GBS. Mm-hmm. And so I was going to have antibiotics, which bummed me out.
Just to explain what that is, group B strep. So usually you get checked at the end, in the United States anyway, you get checked at the end of pregnancy for, it's like a swab to see if you have group B streptococcus bacteria growing, colonized vaginally. Mm-hmm. And if you do, the protocol typically is to give IV antibiotics once the water breaks or once you're into active labor so that the baby doesn't get exposed on the way out.
So about 35% of women have test positive for GBS, and in different countries, there's different protocols. In the United States, we do antibiotics, which is fairly conservative, but the ramifications will rare if you know are serious.
Yeah.
If
the baby gets
infection. If it happens, it's, you know, yeah. And it was definitely one of those things I had to think through when I made that decision, but it wasn't that hard. It was just something that I had mixed feelings about doing it because I think there's so much that we're learning about the microbiome and how important all that is. And
because when you give the antibiotics, in addition to killing the bad bacteria, you also kill all the good bacteria that you're supposed to pass on to the baby.
Yeah. So when I there was this weird point of relief, actually, when I found out I had GBS, tested positive for GBS, and then I decided I was going to do antibiotics, is something I thought about was in terms of C-section. I thought about, like, seeding and doing a swab. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden I was like, well, that's off the table, so I don't have to worry about that.
Oh, great.
I was like, no.
You're always looking at the positive
side. If that's,
side.
Like, going to happen, okay, well, I don't, like, one less thing. But because I was going to have antibiotics, it changes my bag of waters was open, and so the timeline changes a little bit. Mm-hmm. Just because all of a sudden, you know, you want to get things moving. And then also I was going to have antibiotics administered, and you want to get at least one round and before baby is born.
Right.
So so I spoke to Davey, and Davey's just generally, like, just so much, like, love just, like, comes out of her. So speaking to her is wonderful. And she was like, you know, hopefully your contractions start quickly, because if not, in the morning we're going to try to get things moving, just because with your bag open and, you know, we want to.
Yeah, so once the water breaks, then you're not only is your baby not protected in that sterile environment anymore, but it's that nutrient-rich fluid is a great medium for growing bacteria. Mm-hmm. So, and we're much more worried about infection after your water breaks, and so time becomes an issue.
Mm-hmm. So we basically, we discussed, like, what the plan was going to be, and part of this was even the acupuncture stuff. It was like having someone in the back burner. In case you needed someone to get things rolling if all of a sudden it's been 12 hours.
Another 20-minute contraction.
Yeah. Well, so also part of this was, this is a couple days before Thanksgiving. And so a lot of people are gone. And I knew this. Like, the woman who had actually done my acupuncture previously was going to be, I think, in Zion over the holiday. And a lot of people sort of were, you away. Know, going away. But in
well,
some
that's
ways,
true, because driving over to you.
It was quiet?
No. It was right when people are on the road.
Oh, yeah.
And so you're probably 6 minutes from my office normally.
Yeah.
And it only took like
25.
20, but it was like, wow. This
is 'cause it's really close.
A lot of traffic. I could walk probably faster.
I spoke to Davey and I was sort of like, okay, well, hopefully contractions will get going. And we discussed like the game plan of what would happen if they hadn't. And luckily they started pretty quickly afterwards. And they started about every 8 minutes and they started lasting for about 1 minute. And that continued on throughout most of the night. And I actually woke up and I know what you're supposed to do when you wake up in the middle of the night and you're in early labor is to go back to bed.
Mm-hmm.
I was not able to do that. I was like, Ryan and I, my husband and I, took off our sheets, changed our sheets, made our bed for like, because I was having a home birth, made your bed for birth, which is sort of a protocol where you do clean sheets, you do some pads.
But not your favorite sheets.
Yeah, not your favorite sheets on top. And then we basically, I don't know what was wrong with me, but I got up and I started doing laundry. I started making food. I started doing like all sorts of things. I just wasn't able to sleep. I started getting my
I feel like a lot of homeworks people do that.
I just, yeah, it was like one of those things. I also didn't feel tired and my contractions were coming regularly enough that it wasn't going to be easy. I did at some point try to go back to bed for like.
It wasn't going to be easy to sleep?
It wasn't going to be easy
them.
To sleep, yeah. Where,
how did they feel?
So right away, they felt like a menstrual cramp.
Mm-hmm.
And
I can relate to that.
Yeah. Well, they felt like a menstrual cramp, and they just sort of continued to increase in intensity. And then—
Is it what you expected?
Yes, but in some way, my concern had been that having your water break is not the most ideal because, again, the clock sort of starts, and also it can make labor more intense because you lose all that—
The cushioning.
Cushioning. So there, you know, everything's got pros and cons and I don't know. But in some way it was nice because it was like definitive, like labor is things are happening. Things are going. Babies being born. And then I knew what came next because I was paying attention. I knew they were contractions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how long it would have taken me to know they were contractions mm-hmm. had my water not broken.
I see.
So I think they were what I expected. But in the beginning, they were fairly subtle
mm-hmm.
or, you know, like subtle-ish if you're not like paying attention, especially when you've been having Braxton Hicks. So
not what you see on TV.
Not what you see on TV at first. So, things sort of progressed. And by about like 6, 7 in the morning, they were coming about every 4 minutes and lasting for about a minute. And that went on for a few hours every 3 or 4 minutes. But I knew that I wasn't as far along as that might mean because I knew intensity-wise that I wasn't
So pattern-wise, you just judging on the pattern, you would think you were
further.
More progressed in your dilation.
Correct.
But you could tell by the intensity that it wasn't causing that kind of change yet.
Yes. And I think that I think we'll probably get into this, but having experience having seen a lot of births was definitely a double-edged thing.
Yeah. So that's always going to be interesting to me. I have some observations about it, too.
Yeah.
Because
you were there.
Because I was there. But I'm so curious what it's like to – even I have patients who are obese, mm-hmm. and then they give birth, and then I'm like, how is that compared to
– what you expected.
Everything that you've seen and expected. Yeah.
I think as someone who likes information, likes to research, I think it was nice because I wasn't – I really did feel like a pretty good sense of where I was. I wasn't – surprise, and I think that I don't know how you'd feel not having that backbone of kind of like security and comfort and like
I'm all about the backbone. That's my thing.
Yeah.
But it's also like even the way you're talking, like I think the first time you go out as a doula and you support somebody in labor, especially if you're laboring at home and no other professional is there, mm-hmm. and they're looking at you like, how far along am I? And you're mm-hmm. like, I don't know.
Well, it's hard to know, too. Like, different people express themselves really differently.
It's very hard to know. And as doulas, we don't do medical stuff. Mm-hmm. We don't do cervical checks. Mm-hmm. So you kind of have to go just based on the pattern and the look and mm-hmm. on her face and in her eye. But after you do it 40, 50, 60 times, you start to get a sixth sense for it.
Right.
And so
especially later on, like – I don't know. So I knew I wasn't, even though I was
You were in labor, and had you not had you not had that kind of experience before, you might have thought, oh my gosh,
I'm far along.
Yeah, it's, things are happening.
Well, that's typically when people go to the hospital, is about, you know, what you get
that
told.
That 5-1-1.
Yeah, like, so like I would have been probably, like, if I would have been nervous or anxious, or I would have been like, oh, and it is intense. It's not like it's not in, you know, you're just having fairly regular sensations. So you and I, know, communicated and checked in. And I remember telling everyone, it was because I was keeping Davey and Michelle, although Michelle was going to come, kind of like apprised of what was going on, but being like, so this is where I'm at, but it's, but don't freak out. Like,
that's,
we're not,
what you told me also. Yeah. I was like, you want me to come over before work? You're like, no, I'm good for a while.
I think we've got a while. So then actually, so the GBS thing, although that was a bummer, it was nice in that around 9 a.m., Michelle, my midwife, showed up to administer antibiotics, and it was nice just to have her come. And she was there for about an hour, and things, you know, were coming every 3 or 4 minutes, and they were increasing in intensity, but it wasn't crazy. So that was nice. She left, and then we had actually planned on having Suzanne, your colleague, come over to my house. So around, I think she came around 11, and things had kind of picked up. So it was actually like perfect. So Dr. Berlin was working, and his colleague, who's a chiropractor, also came over and did 2 hours of bodywork, which was like so great because things were picking up.
Were you feeling your contractions in the front at that point?
Yes. Yes.
Because I remember in the before episode that we did, you're like, I think I'm going to be able to handle it just fine as long as it's not back labor.
Yeah.
So for this part, it's all
front,
and you're doing okay.
And I feel, I felt actually pretty in control. And then having Suzanne there, we basically laid on my bed, and she did 2 hours of basically massage, and she was lovely. It was, because it was a holiday, she was about to catch a flight.
Oh, right. She was leaving town.
She was leaving town, and I had never met her before. And I was fairly, you know, it was like one of those things where I'm not that far into labor, but I'm also having contractions every 3 or 4 minutes, and they're, you know, you're doing it. So it was really nice because basically it was something that as things had sort of progressed, Michelle left, and I had, like, this thing to look forward to, and I knew then, like, we decided Suzanne was going to come, and I was like, yes.
People do talk about that. Like, I'm so glad you came. If nothing else, just a change of scenery. Like, you're the next thing.
Totally. You just know that you're like, okay, I only have to get through this far, and then this new thing is happening.
Right.
And so Suzanne came. She did 2 hours of body work. She was lovely, and it was really great because while she was doing it, I basically just got to sort of get into a rhythm, kind of, like, catch the contractions early, you know, kind of ride the wave. It's sort of like if you catch it, I found if you catch it early, then you could kind of just, like, breathe through it pretty well. And things had increased in intensity, but they were enough that I kind of was enjoying having the massage, and it was so, so lovely. So she left probably about 1.
12 hours in.
Yeah, so about 12 hours in. And things have picked up, but I'm still, like, in pretty good spirits, but things are kind of picking up in intensity.
And Michelle didn't check you, right?
Michelle actually did check
me
in the morning.
Oh, she did.
Of course, I asked her to check me.
I know, but I wasn't sure after your water broke.
No, she did. And she was like, do you want me to check you? I also think she probably wanted to check me in part because they were coming fairly, like, regularly.
Yeah. What did you find?
I think, so I'm trying to remember exactly what it was. I was fully effaced, but I was only, like, I think I was 2 centimeters, which is basically what I had been before I had gone into labor.
All those contractions.
Like for the last few weeks I'd been like that. So basically I had just had, like, complete effacement, and that's what had been going on for the, you know, 8 hours or whatever leading up to that. And I didn't find that discouraging because I just was like, oh, great. Things are moving. Like, everything's fine and everything's totally still manageable.
All right. I think we're 12 hours in.
Mm-hmm. Now
we're 12 hours in. You're contracting. You've had a two-hour massage.
You had a two-hour massage.
Things are picking up. And we're going to take a little commercial break.
Okay.
And then we're going to come back and find out what happened on the rest of Shannon's journey right here on the Informed Pregnancy Podcast. I understand the mental demands of motherhood. I see it every day in my practice. That's why I'm excited about Needed's new cognitive support. Unlike other supplements, it's specifically formulated with postpartum and breastfeeding moms in mind, using safe and effective ingredients. This means that moms can get the brain boost they deserve without compromising safety. Plus, it includes clinically studied ingredients, proven to support focus and memory. Hurry and get your cognitive support from Needed before you forget. Visit thisisneeded.com and user code Berlin to get 20% off your initial order. This episode is sponsored by an innovative product that's made a big difference for parents and babies alike, Dr. Mom Butt Balm. As a parent of four, I've had my fair share of battles with diaper rash, often resorting to thick, unpleasant pastes. I only recently discovered Dr. Mom Butt Balm, and I was immediately impressed by its pleasant consistency and ease of application. This pediatric-approved skin protectant is free from dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, making it perfect for your baby's sensitive skin. It's designed by a doctor who's also a mom, ensuring your little one gets the gentlest care. A small dab is all it takes to soothe and protect, avoiding the mess and hassle of traditional treatments. With ingredients like dimethicone and petrolatum, Dr. Mom Butt Balm not only soothes, but also restores your baby's delicate skin. Available on Amazon.com and Walmart.com, it's the smart choice for every parent wanting to keep diaper rash at bay. Remember, with Dr. Mom Butt Balm, nothing comes between you and your baby, not even diaper rash. Welcome back to the Informed Pregnancy and Parenting Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Elliot Berlin, and we are continuing our candid conversation of Shannon's birth. You're taking us through your journey, which I'm so grateful for. 12 hours into it, you got a massage, but you weren't really dilating yet, and you're feeling your contractions in the front, which is what you wanted.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So I was grateful for that. I think at this point I probably, well, so what happened was Suzanne left. I got into the shower. I was doing a lot of hands and knees. I was which continued on throughout my labor, but progressed to the point where I was unwilling to walk. And I was like basically in my shower because my bag of waters was open. I wasn't in the tub because I hadn't been cleared.
I remember you said you wanted to be in the tub.
I wanted to be in the tub,
but it just didn't work out that way.
Yeah, it wasn't going to work out like that until I had been cleared. You don't want to. Yeah, once your bag is open, it changes being in water a little bit. So I was in my shower, basically on hands and knees. My husband was with me, Ryan, and he was generally like, I think a great labor partner for what I needed in that he was very calm, but he was fairly hands off. Mm-hmm. He was kind of just like, which is probably more what I was sort of, especially in the beginning, looking for, just sort of being, so he was just sort of, he and my dog were just like sitting in the bathroom with me, not really, you know, talking. And I was just sort of like, yeah, rocking back and forth, doing my thing. So then things had picked up quite a bit. And by about 3 o'clock, I remember he was touching base with Michelle, my midwife who had, you know, left, and figuring out when she was going to come back because, one, I needed to get my antibiotics administered again every
round
8 hours.
Two. Yeah.
So about by 5 p.m., I needed to have them administered. And she was speaking with Ryan. And I think it was a little after 3, and I was getting, like, things had gotten pretty intense for me. And I remember them talking. And I was, like, getting kind of out of it during my contractions, but still with it, which lasted pretty much the whole time. And he spoke to Michelle and sort of told her where I was at. And she said something like, okay, I'll be back around 5:30. And I was, like, they hung up. And I was, like, no. I was, like, Ryan, call Michelle back and tell her to come before 5:30. Like, I want Michelle to come. Like,
you were ready.
I'm, like, this is getting pretty intense.
Okay.
So Michelle came back.
Did you feel like you were dilating now?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Michelle came back about 4.
Like, okay.
So,
you got your wish.
I got my wish. And I requested that she check me, and she did. And I think I was at 6 or 7. So then I got into the bath. That became an okay thing to do.
Did it feel like you thought it would feel?
It didn't actually feel like as much relief as I thought it would feel. I've seen women have so much relief from getting the bath, and I didn't.
But I've seen it both ways. I've seen people think they're going to get a lot of relief and just not like it in there. It just, or like it, but not get the relief.
Also, at this period of time, about like this 4 o'clock period is also starts being what became kind of like a pretty intense time for me. And also, this is when you were texting with Ryan, and this is, I was in the bath, and Dr. Berlin and Ryan were texting. Mm-hmm. And And it was like, do you want him to come after? He can come after six once he, you know, finishes at work. And I remember being like, yes, like, absolutely. Like, I want him to come. But also then feeling guilty because I remember being like, that's a really long day for him. Like,
oh, you're so.
No,
but you remember that's what you said. You're like, I was asking who's coming to your birth. And you're like, I don't want too many people because I start to worry about people and care for them.
Yeah, oh, I do remember thinking, I was like, oh, no. But I was like, I really want him to come. Yeah. And I knew at that time, I think it was about five or so when we made that plan. And I remember being like, oh, great, like in an hour, like, you know, like sort of, again, that same thing of being like, okay, Dr. Berlin's going to come. So I was in the bath and things were very intense. Like I felt like, I don't want to terrify anyone, but I felt like my body was breaking in two.
Did that surprise you?
No, it didn't surprise me. It's, what surprised me the next day is I had toenail polish on and my tub had literally like nail polish on it from the sides because I think I was like running my.
Oh, really?
Because I think it was just in so much. Yeah, it was very intense. That was like the worst part sort of
in
for
the
me.
Tub?
The most difficult part was that period when I was in the tub and that's when I started sort of involuntarily pushing.
So you were transitioning sort of.
Yeah, that was like transition while I was in the tub. So then I was in the tub from probably like 4:30 until around like right before you arrived, I think, when you came at like 6:30.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, just after 6.
So, So I think right before you got there, I got out of the tub and I was really looking forward to you being there because it had gotten like pretty intense. It was like, yeah, I was feeling
was
like it was
still in the front.
So not totally. I was having a lot of. It wasn't in my back where I was expecting it to be. It was so much lower. It really was like my tailbone.
Tailbone.
And so you got there and we were, and my bag of waters is open. So I just have so much fluid. And I remember feeling really bad about that because I was
again,
just.
you were like, oh, Dr. Rhea, I'm so sorry about the fluid. I'm like, I don't care about the fluid.
There was just so much fluid. I felt so, you know, I don't know, just like, so yeah, you started doing body work, which was great, really nice. And I was still pushing, but kind of involuntarily. And I remember Michelle being, basically everyone being really encouraging and positive and being like, you're really far along. Like, you know, this baby's going to be here pretty soon. And I remember being like, I don't think I'm as far along as you guys think.
I remember you saying that word for word.
And basically being like, I think that I felt fairly in touch with like what was happening inside. And I sort of felt like things weren't, like the baby wasn't coming down. Like I was having these urges to push, which were pretty intense, but that the baby wasn't actually coming down. And I was having, you know, it was really intense sensation in my tailbone. and you were helping with that, but it was, you know, only so much you could do. And then I remember Michelle checking me, but I don't think I requested that one. I think she was just, I think that just sort of happened to see where things were at. And I think it must have been probably about, it was probably about 7:30 when we figured out that I had a lip on my cervix, mm-hmm. which means that when my cervix had dilated, a portion of it had essentially not retracted. And so it was keeping the baby's head up high and or not letting the baby's head drop. And so some of the pushing I had done for had essentially been for naught. And so at this point, I've been pushing sort of involuntarily for a while, which is, you know, taking energy. And I remember basically a combination of Michelle and me, her trying to get the lip off manually and me trying to push it off.
Oh, during a push, yeah.
And I don't know if you remember this because what happened is I was trying to communicate something that in my brain was totally clear, but I'm not sure if I actually communicated it clearly, but you knew what I was saying, which it sort of reminded me of, you know, if you've had too much to drink and you're like, think that whatever you're communicating is like the clearest thing in the world.
Yeah.
But it's totally.
It comes out, rah, 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 rah.
I think it might have been like that. Where basically what I was, Michelle was trying to have me push further back. And I was like, I do not understand how I can push differently. And I'm so exhausted that I don't want to push harder than I have to because I don't want to exert myself more than I need to. And you knew what I was saying? Do you remember this?
Yeah, I do remember you trying to communicate and she was trying to communicate something different to you.
Yeah. And I was
and
like,
then we figured it
but
out.
But you knew, like, and I remember just being like, but sort of like being drunk, where you're like, oh, like, no one's understanding me. I'm just going to, like, like, I'm not being able to be clear at this point. So things had gotten pretty intense.
Yeah, but at that point, you'd been through a lot.
Yeah.
You had already, I mean, we had gone into a lot of different positions.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You were trying.
Yeah.
And it's not, I mean, trying is probably the wrong word. You were just shifting into different positions.
And I really mostly wanted to be on hands and knees.
Up.
And I remember everyone wanting two things. One, I was way too in my head, which I never was totally able to escape. And that was probably like, if I had any disappointment during my labor, it's that I don't feel like I was able to transcend that prefrontal cortex place.
It seemed like there was a moment
where, I mean, I was making crazy sounds.
The crazy sounds, but it was clear to everyone that you were a doula in labor.
Right.
And to that extent, after what you described before, I think that's when Michelle left.
Yeah.
Her assistant, Kimmy, had already come, but they left your room.
Yeah, and they were like, you need to go, like, work this out.
Because you kept saying, tell me how to push different. Tell me how, you know, or what should I be doing differently?
Yeah.
But there was a moment where you went, I think, to just sit on the toilet.
Yeah, and you had to, so they wanted me to go sit on the toilet to change position. And I really did not want to. It was so uncomfortable. And I did that for a while. And you actually came in.
I came in.
Yeah.
And
I remember just like resting my head on you.
Your head was like resting on my belly.
Yeah.
And then, but it was sort of great because then
it was great.
I was like, let's try just a little coach breathing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the moment where I felt like in there, it seemed at least like you kind of shut off your neocortex, or it was flickering in and out at least.
That was actually like, it was a really uncomfortable position for me, but really a nice moment. I actually remember having my like head on you and you were like rubbing my back, and it was just really, really loving is not the right word probably, but just so like caring and sweet, and I really did feel supported. And then I was gonna go get in the shower afterwards, and you lifted me up, literally carried me.
Well, you couldn't walk.
I told everyone I couldn't walk, which I was, well, so then I get in the shower for a while, everyone leaves me. I am, basically at some point Michelle had told me that I kept basically quitting pushing at the earlier than I should, and that the baby was, that if I kept going, it would sort of push things along. So I remember thinking in my brain, like, I'm going to push the hardest ever. I'm going to go as long as physically possible with each breath. So I remember being in the shower and just being, like, really trying so, like, so hard to push and being on my hands and knees. And then everyone eventually came back and they're like, okay, come back to, you know, come back to the
bed.
Like, we're going to change positions. And I remember being like, I can't walk. And crawling from my bathroom to my bedroom, which isn't, you know, that far, but I don't know. How long did it take?
It took a long time.
10 minutes?
Yeah, it took a long time.
Like
it's literally like, I don't know, 10 feet.
Yeah, 12 feet or something.
It took you a long time to get there, but it was slow and steady.
Yeah.
And just like you were cramping in between.
I was just hands, yeah.
Lying
hands
on
knees.
The floor, it, like if you see like these black and white pictures from home birth, like these really like you can sort of feel what's happening pictures.
Mm-hmm.
When you were laying on the floor in the shower.
Oh, yeah.
Just alone.
Yeah.
For a while.
Yeah.
That was like one of those moments for me. I'm like, I
feel her.
I just need to leave you to do it, to find your space and do your thing. Like there's nothing to do at that moment.
Yeah.
But I could sort of feel it. I'm like, oh gosh, this has to move forward soon because
I was getting tired too.
You're getting tired and you also, when you got to your bed.
Mm-hmm. Which is where I ended up ultimately pushing off the side of my bed for quite a while.
Yeah, you were like squatting.
Squatting.
And that was also, was like, how does she have the energy to do? You were doing like full squats.
Oh, yeah, I know. I know, which now I was like, I don't know. I was doing full squats, and that's kind of crazy for how long it lasted.
It went on for a while, and how long you had already been working at it.
Yeah.
I was like, that's kind of amazing that you have that energy to even do that. But you, at some point, you just knew, you said, okay, I feel my baby moving down.
Oh, I felt that. I literally, when the baby, so I crawled into my room. I was like holding onto the edge of my bed in a squat for a very long period of time when I think back on it. And there was Kimmy, the midwife's assistant, who actually was so lovely and came back and checked me like afterwards and was so lovely. But I knew I probably didn't want a doula. And Kimmy was doing very classically doula things where she was saying things to me like, you are so strong, you're doing so great, etc. And I remember being like in my brain, like I didn't want to hear it. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't want anyone to tell me, like, And even as a little kid, like when I played soccer, when people would be like, great job, I was always like, no, don't, like, I never liked that. And so I sort of knew that that wasn't something I was going to want. And that's why you were actually really great, because you were very...
I just used my hands
to
talk.
Yeah, you were very calm and didn't say very much, and it was really, like, comforting. And I did feel like you understood what I was saying at a few different points. I knew I wasn't communicating very clearly, but I knew, like, you responded, and I was like, okay, Dr. Brillen knew, like, what I had said.
I'm more body language oriented, mm-hmm. both in what I'm giving to you and what I'm taking out of you.
Yeah.
So you don't have to use words as much.
I found that really comforting. And so that was at the end. So I basically was pushing. I eventually felt the baby drop.
I love that moment where you said it. You're like, my baby's coming down. I'm bringing my baby mm-hmm. down. These are productive now.
Mm-hmm. I think I probably did say these are productive
you
now.
You said these are productive now. I was like, it's like you have a little device in there telling you what's going on. But it's just you in touch with your own body.
Yeah, I did feel
it. And they were productive.
And before that, I was having this frustration where I felt like I was working so hard. And because I think probably a few different things, but my baby really wasn't, you know, had probably some... maybe obstruction or whatever that was making it so that I didn't feel like I was working so hard, and I was like, oh my gosh, these are just, there's so much in the way, and it's just not moving like you'd hope. And I'd actually never seen, as long as I pushed, I'd never actually seen someone else push quite that long. And so I was getting pretty tired. I was really happy when that moment happened. And I remember actually feeling at, by this point, once the baby dropped down, it was no longer on my tailbone, mm-hmm. and I was no longer in that kind of pain. I actually didn't mind. The sensation of pushing, the intensity, was a lot more manageable from a pain standpoint. And I remember thinking, like, I could do this for a while pain-wise. It was more exhaustion-wise.
Energy.
Yeah. So at some point, things are sort of moving along, and I did feel, like, pretty in control. Once the baby dropped and I could feel it moving down, I was, like, felt emotionally much better. And then... I remember telling everyone at some point that I was feeling burning, and I wasn't doing it to complain. I remember doing it because I was like, I want everyone to know where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I think Kimmy was like, it's totally normal. And I was like, no, I know.
No,
like,
my perineum is stretching. It's yeah, coming.
Yeah. And then I remember at another point, like actively thinking that I was like, okay, like, and they were checking the baby and baby was fine and being like, okay, I don't want this to go too fast. I want to keep this. I don't want to tear. I want this to go. If baby's okay, I'm going to let this go. And I'm okay. Mm-hmm. Like, let's keep this slow. At one point, I asked Michelle, I said, do you think I can get the baby out with the next push? And she said, probably. And I remember thinking, okay, I'm not going to get the baby out the next time then. I'm going to wait one
and
more.
And so she says, definitely.
Yeah. Well, no, I remember thinking, like, okay, perfect. Then, like, I'm really close. Uh-huh. So I'm just going to, like, get it really close this next time. And then I'm going to do it after that. And that'll hopefully help with, you know, not having things be – yeah, I didn't want to tear and I didn't want things to go too rapidly. So that was – yeah, that was – basically, I went, you were there. I actually have a great photo. My dog was there.
Yeah. I was thinking, actually, because, again, going to the before episode and you sort of assembling who you wanted around you, not wanting too many people, already worried about a vegan midwife, you know. But it just, I could tell, like, when your husband was in the room,
mm-hmm.
you were one level of calm. And when he would leave, you were a level less calm.
Oh, really?
Yeah, absolutely. Even if he was just sitting on the corner not doing anything.
No, but he was great. He was really, like...
I'm just saying, even when he was not even doing anything hands-on, just being in the room, you could see yourself
feel
relax.
Calmer. Yeah.
And when he would leave, even just for a few minutes to go take care of the dog or something else, I can sense your body tensing up.
That's funny.
And then he would just come back in and just say something or just be around you, and you were calm.
Yeah.
And even your dog was getting a little anxious, and she was cool, though. She came in and she was just there, and... I feel like you had a great energy around you, a mix of people that in the end was probably
perfect.
Just what you needed. And that's what you said is like, it's about who's going to be around me. I'm very particular about that. And it, for me, it was really, it's going to be a birth. First of all, it's the last birth that I did so far.
Yeah.
I haven't done another one since then. And it's going to be in my mind forever because I made a commitment to myself and to my family that I'm going to stop doing births for a while. And my son, he's a pitcher. He likes to pitch baseball. And we have four kids, and they each like different sports. So when we have like an hour or so to go out and play, kind of have to break it up between mm-hmm. them. And so I'll sometimes have to tell him, look, we're going to do 30 pitches and I'm going to go do something else. And he always says the same thing. He goes, but the last one has to be a good one. And when he throws that pitch, if it's not a great pitch, he's like, no. The last one has to be a good one. I left your house like totally mixed emotions, mm-hmm. high as a kite from your strength and your journey and your energy. It was just so mind-blowing in a good way. And sad that I'm probably not going to go to a birth for a long time now. Mm-hmm. But I left really happy. Like, the last one was a good one.
Aww.
It was so cool from my perspective. Mm-hmm. You're so strong and you know what you want. And you went through, like, the ups and downs of, like, that being a doula in labor was just like you were telling them, tell me how to push. Tell me how to do it differently. Tell me what I got to do better. Mm-hmm. And they knew, and somewhere deep inside your mind, you knew it doesn't work that way. You just have to shut off and let your body do it.
And I really struggled with that. And it's...
But of course you struggled with that.
I know.
I've never been to a birth of a doula who didn't struggle with that.
I know.
Of course you struggled with that. In fact, I think you did amazing with it compared to what most people. It's a really hard thing to do.
It was so hard to shut off that way.
For you, it's hard for everyone, but with everything you know,
like listening to people, like I wasn't able to totally.
I know, like Michelle was like, she cut her finger or something, so she had a little splint on there, and Kimmy came in and she was like, oh, what happened to your finger? Like in the corner, and she's like, oh, I just had a little cut.
And you're like, I heard you, and you're like, episiotomy.
That's what you said. You're like, do I need an episiotomy? And they're like, no, dear.
All of a sudden, I had this fear. I heard them talking about this. I heard them like talking like privately and talking about this, and all of a sudden I was thinking, I was like, oh my god, they are trying to keep me calm, like baby's heart is decelling, and like
I'm gonna get an episiotomy.
And I remember being like, do I need an episiotomy?
Right.
And then being like, oh no. But it was just like one of those things where I was not able to, like, yeah, that's funny. I didn't realize that's what they were
saying. Listening to everything and taking the information and processing it. And of course, how could you shut it off? Most people have a hard time shutting it off, even if they don't have experience with birth or knowledge about birth. So I thought you did an amazing job shutting it off. And for me, that moment when you were sitting on the toilet and just breathing, I just felt your whole nervous system let go. And I was like, okay, this is a good sign. But anyway, you didn't have a doula, so my role becomes more active.
You were my doula.
Yeah, but sometimes I'm there doing body work and there is a doula, so I'm just doing body work. In your case, it was a more active role, and you respond so well to massage and touch and body work, and you knew what you wanted. You're like, yeah, right over there. And you know, so it was a really, for me, it was like an amazing amazing opportunity to be there with you, and just a really deep honor to be there and to support you through that. And I ended on a good one.
I think, I'm so glad. I think
they're all good.
Like, we do have a photo, and you can see, like, Kimmy, who's so lovely, and Michelle, who's actually my midwife before I got pregnant. She was just my women's wellness. And I feel like Michelle's my friend. And then you and my dog and Ryan. And it's like this.
That's the whole team.
It was everyone. It was so nice. And and I was so happy to have Ryan. Was really great. I know that some women I've watched this happen get frustrated with their husbands, or sometimes don't love their husbands when they're in labor.
Uh-huh.
I think that happens with some frequency, and I didn't feel that. And I think that was, I don't know, the whole thing was really nice. There was a couple points of levity, but in general, I didn't have I don't know. It was pretty calm, but like not very funny, which maybe, I don't know. I was curious what, like, I was like, is Dr. Berlin going to come? And I'm just going to be like
laughing?
Time? Like, is it going to change things?
But you went inside. You went pretty deep inside. So we had a couple of laughter moments, but you were just inside and just, you were just riding the waves. So
I remember people laughing at me when I said I couldn't walk. And then at some point, Michelle was like, do you want to see the baby? Like with a mirror. And I was like, I can't open my eyes.
I make jokes or try to bring comedy into birth when there's a lot of fear.
Mm-mm.
And I didn't sense any fear.
I didn't feel very afraid. I mostly felt so exhausted. And I knew at the end that I was like, I don't have that much. Like, I felt really pretty tired. Actually, even when baby was born, I did not have that moment of euphoria that I have heard people have. I've watched people have where –
You needed juice.
Yeah. I remember sort of being also kind of in my brain and being like, is everything okay? Like, you know, and...
Yeah, it takes a second for the baby to start, like, crying and mm-hmm. getting pink. And I think also because you've probably seen that, you were a little more nervous about it than other people.
Yeah. I actually, yeah. And then baby wasn't crying as much as would have been ideal, but I didn't feel very nervous about that because he looked good to me. And then I think, I don't know, but yeah, it was a... I just remember afterwards being so
exhausted. How was the next few days for you, postpartum, breastfeeding?
So the next few days, well, the next day, for a few days after birth, my tailbone felt so rocked. I think I texted you next to me the next day, and you're like, hey, checking in.
Yeah.
Like, and I was like, basically, like, I can barely walk. Like, like, what do you, like, because at the time I was a little concerned. Now everything's totally fine. But I was like, this is very bad. How bad is this really? Like, how bad is this going to be in 3 weeks? Like, how bad is this actually? But it really only lasted a few days. So my tailbone was very sore. But luckily I didn't need stitches and I didn't really tear very much. So I think I felt.
It's because you waited. Because I waited.
Because I like had waited to have push. And so I think I felt. You know, not great, but better than I could have felt. And breastfeeding was fine. My milk came in really quickly. So about 36 hours after I had delivered,
that's
my
like
milk
FedEx.
Came in. Yeah, it was really fast. And I became super engorged. And then baby stopped being able to latch properly. And because it was Thanksgiving, getting a lactation consultant became very, very difficult. So I ended up on day three... going to lactation consultant and driving to her in the valley, which was great. She was super great. Her name's Rosa. And she was lovely and really helpful and, like, totally wonderful. But that day had actually been really stressful because the baby basically – my baby, my son, Abe, Abraham, didn't eat for, like, 6 hours.
Oh, wow.
And I could tell he was super lethargic. And before he'd been, you know, breastfeeding had been fine. Like, it hadn't been that – he'd been eating, it had been fine, I'd been doing fine, I felt like my nipples were going to fall off, but, like, you know, it was happening. And then I was like, this is not going, stuff is, my breasts were rocks. It looked like I had, like, gone to, you know, like, a strip mall in the valley and been like, I want the cheapest, worst blowjob you can give me. Like, please start at my collarbone. Like, higher the better. But, yeah.
How did she help you overcome that?
I pumped. I didn't know that I was too engorged to, they
to
were
feed.
Like to feed. I was severely engorged. And so he basically had just gotten too engorged to latch. He seemed lethargic to me. I actually called Davey on my way. I think I texted her and then she called me and I cried, which I'm not a crier. Mm-hmm. I think I've cried two times since the baby was born. And this was one of them where I was like really freaking out. I was like,
I remember you also saying in our before episode that you were more worried about taking care of a newborn than giving birth to a baby.
Although it's actually gone so much better than I expected. So this is the worst, like, few hours. It was, like, literally me being like, this baby is, I can tell, lethargic. Like, he hasn't eaten now. Like, I'm so concerned. He didn't have sunken lobes, but so I knew he wasn't severely dehydrated, but it was still pretty nervous. So went to the lactation consultant, pumped, got that under control. Have had an excess of milk since then, but things are great. Breastfeeding since then has been...
So you have a freezer full.
Yes. Yes. Since then, everything's been great. And then actually, really, I was nervous about postpartum. I was nervous physically, and I was nervous kind of emotionally. My spirits have actually been much better than I expected.
Good.
Been pretty even. And I've mostly just felt really – I had help from my mom. We'd set that up. So my mom came for basically, like, 6 nights of the first 2 weeks. And it was so wonderful because she would come and she would, like, go to the grocery store and make food and unload my dishwasher. And
my God, I want your mom.
My mom's, like, the best. But she was so helpful.
My mom does that, too, but she's in New York, so.
Yeah, so you don't get to see her quite as much. No. It really took the edge off. And when my mom wasn't there, we were eating, like, scrambled eggs and quesadillas because you're just busy in a different way. Mm-hmm. And I know it sounds crazy, but 6 sets of hands, like, even Ryan was off work and – is sometimes 4 hands, like, didn't feel like
not enough,
which, I mean, enough to survive, but not enough to thrive, you know?
Oh, that's a good way to put it.
But yeah, so it was, postpartum's actually been better than expected. And I've mostly just felt really lucky. I mean, knock on wood, but my baby's been healthy and he hasn't had colic and breastfeeding has been okay and my body's been producing milk and I feel like I've healed really well and have had support and I don't know. So I feel really lucky.
I remember you saying your mom had two interesting birth experiences.
Oh, yeah. With us.
I think with
I
you.
About them. Yeah.
Yeah. You talked about both of them. One of them involved buying a television. But
yeah, my birth.
But how does she feel about your birth experience?
It's funny that you say this. I think that for her, in a way, and she hasn't said this, but my interpretation is that I think it's actually been fairly healing for her. I think she's so happy for me that I was able to have a birth experience that I wanted. And she knows that this isn't just something I've wanted. This is something I've spent, years and a lot of time looking into. And so I think she was really happy that I had that. And then, too, she was there so she came actually to her first pediatrician appointment, mm-hmm. which is totally different. Actually, was not with a regular pediatrician either because it was Thanksgiving. And that's one thing. And then versus like my midwives who come to my house and take care of you in this way that's like, you know, pay attention and listen and give you time and just really are so in touch. I think that she just like loved – she only met – Davy, but I think she was just like so blown away. She met Davy twice for some of the postpartum visits. And I think she was like, oh my God, this model is amazing. These people come to your house and they take care of you. And I think for her, it was something that maybe for her own births, and part of this is probably time, but I think more of this is time and place and her. She probably hadn't thought very much about it and deferred to sort of what you're supposed to do and what other people do. And I think for her, it was really like wonderful to see this model and sort of was like, I don't know why more people don't
do this.
Yeah. And I think that if you would have asked her, you know, 12 years ago before I sort of started on this journey, what she'd think about it, she would have been like, no way. But I think she actually really like, I mean, she's been so helpful, but I think that, you know, I've had different friends and she's had different friends who have children now that have had children. And sometimes, I don't know. I think this model, I think, for so many people is a really, it's just so gentle and healing and.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, everybody's different. So
yeah, right.
For some people, this model is amazing. And for other people, it's just
not.
Totally wrong.
Yeah.
My last question for you.
Yeah.
If you, looking back
yeah.
at the whole experience, is there anything you would have done differently?
In terms of my birth, really, no. I think it was I feel really lucky because I think I knew what I needed. I feel like I was pretty in touch with what I thought I would need. And I think I was pretty accurate in terms of what I thought I'd want and ultimately what I felt like was serving me. And I feel like it was really lovely. And challenging and exhausting. You know, it was like 5 hours of pushing. It was tiring, but I was really wonderful. And there's not too much I would choose to do differently. I think it would have been nice to have the spiritual moment at the end where you're like, bring your baby up and there's euphoria and not everyone gets that. I think maybe most people don't get that. I'm not sure. But that would have been lovely. The only thing I would have actually, that I could have had control over changing and is I think it would have been nice if I would have been less busy during my pregnancy to enjoy being pregnant and maybe being tapped in more to my pregnancy because I feel like it was something I kind of only did the last couple weeks.
Yeah.
And, you know, not completely, but you got to really spend time thinking through that and, I don't know, having a little bit more of a spiritual relationship with the process. I think if I could do it again, as much as control as you have, I would have tried to have that.
Well, here's the thing. My kids are older now.
Mm-hmm.
There, and looking back, not at pregnancy and birth, but at just
being a parent.
Parenthood, I feel the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're just at the beginning of the journey. So at least at this moment, you can take that lesson from yourself and from me, take what you want out of the relationship that you have with him.
Yeah, it's been people are like, what has it been like? And I'm like, exhausting and magical. Like, it's been really wonderful.
I sort of feel like in 7 years from now, you're going to feel like it was 10 minutes.
I think
it goes so fast.
I can't believe it already. He's so much bigger in 6 weeks.
Yeah. All right. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you
Thanks
so much.
Thanks for sharing you and your story and all the details of your story. As I already said, I'm just super – I was always inspired by you. I always thought the interestingness of becoming a doula on your way to becoming a midwife and then becoming a corporate lawyer and just kind of looking at, around you and realizing when you need to change right or change left, you know, is inspiring to me. And then it was just such a sheer honor and pleasure to support you in your birth. I feel really lucky to have been invited. So thanks a million. I'm going to check in. Are you thinking about having more kids?
I think that it's one of those things that you play by ear. I would like to have another kid. I actually thought about when I was in labor. I was like, so what am I doing next time? But now looking back, if I had the opportunity, I'd do it the same way. So you'll be there, right?
Well, I always knew I'd come out of retirement at some point.
Maybe you and I will both take a break from birth for a little bit.
Yeah, and then we'll be ready to come back.
Yeah.
Maybe around Thanksgiving or...
In a few years.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, though, for being at my birth. I told you this, but I couldn't have asked for... You were the exact perfect person. Exactly. You arrived at the right time. The end sort of towards, you know, the hardest part. And I feel like it was just... I really, really appreciated you being there. It made me feel so safe. And I really, really... I'm so grateful.
Oh, I'm so glad. Actually, you know what? I was wondering this in my mind. I used a lot of essential oils.
I can't smell them.
You can't smell. No. But I know that. So I was just wondering if you had any idea that I was using them or not.
I didn't. And I had a diffuser going and I chose to use, at some point, I guess, I don't know if it was still going, but I was using essential oils because I just hoped that they would work, but I didn't know if you were using them.
Yeah. But I was using a lot of them. It worked for the rest of us.
It
would, well, calm the people around you.
That's true. Yeah. Keep my dog calm.
Exactly. All right. Thanks again for being here at home. Thanks for listening. If you have a topic that you want to hear about, send us your suggestions to info@informedpregnancy.com. And then visit us online for lots more pregnancy and parenting information at informedpregnancy.com. This episode is sponsored by an innovative product that's made a big difference for parents and babies alike, Dr. Mom Butt Balm. As a parent of four, I've had my fair share of battles with diaper rash, often resorting to thick, unpleasant pastes. I only recently discovered Dr. Mom Butt Balm, and I was immediately impressed by its pleasant consistency and ease of application. This pediatric-approved skin protectant is free from dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, making it perfect for your baby's sensitive skin. It's designed by a doctor who's also a mom, ensuring your little one gets the gentlest care. A small dab is all it takes to soothe and protect, avoiding the mess and hassle of traditional treatments. With ingredients like dimethicone and petrolatum, Dr. Mom Butt Balm not only soothes, but also restores your baby's delicate skin. Available on Amazon.com and Walmart.com, it's the smart choice for every parent wanting to keep diaper rash at bay. Remember, with Dr. Mom Butt Balm, nothing comes between you and your baby, not even diaper rash.